1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion's it's a very strong word. It describes extremely close fellowship. And communion, or Lord's Supper, but you can say the word communion as well, it's a picture of becoming one with Jesus Christ. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave instructions about the Lord's Supper and what it's supposed to be like and how we're supposed to do it. So I'd like to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." It's a great passage describing how to take the Lord's Supper. And he said, this is what Jesus did the night that he was betrayed, right before he went to be crucified. He took bread and he broke that bread and he passed it out to his disciples. He said, take this and eat it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. He didn't turn the bread into his body. His body was still there. And the bread never turns into the body of Christ. It's a picture of the body of Christ. Then he passed out the juice and he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. It was another picture. It was taking a cup, and I don't know what the cup looked like. Well, we have little plastic cups that we use, basically because we don't like drinking after one another. Different cultures are okay with that. I'm glad I'm in this culture. Do you remember the missionaries that came by and passed the cup around for everybody to drink out of that one cup? And I was like, please, Lord, don't let them give it to me. Don't let them give it to me. I'm a germaphobe. I come by it honestly from my mom. I don't know what kind of cup that it was that they drank out of. But he took the juice and he passed it around, or he served it, however he did it, and they drank. And it wasn't alcoholic. It was unfermented, because that's a picture of the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. So we use grape juice. And the idea behind that is to drink that. It's not the blood of Christ. It never becomes the blood of Christ, but it's a picture of what Jesus did for us. And it's a picture of becoming one with Christ. Whenever you take the bread into your body, you take the juice into your body, the communion, the picture of what's happening is me saying, Lord, I do want to become one with you. I want to trust you as my Savior. I want to accept you. Now, taking the Lord's Supper doesn't save a person, but it's a picture of trusting that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood. He allowed his body to be broken, and it's me accepting that as his free gift of eternal life and forgiveness. I want to give you a few thoughts about the Lord's Supper. I want to give you a few thoughts about Christ's sacrifice. God made a way for sinful people to have eternal life. That's what we preached about this morning. God sent his only begotten Son. And Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, paid the price for every sin when he died on the cross. Jesus gave his body as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus shed his blood as the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. Before he went to the cross, Jesus gave his disciples some pictures to help them remember what he was about to do for them. This morning, the message we preached was pictures of the cross. all through the Old Testament, looking forward to the cross with these pictures of what it was going to look like, the animal that was killed in the Garden of Eden to make coats for Adam and Eve, the serpent that was put up on the pole, the lamb in Isaiah chapter 53, all pictures and looking forward to Jesus Christ. And Jesus gave us two pictures in the New Testament that pictured the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, that pictured the sacrifice of Christ. And those two pictures are what we would call ordinances. The only ordinances that were given to the church, not sacraments, not something you do to be saved, but something you do to remember. And those two ordinances are baptism and the Lord's Supper. Now go with me to baptism for just a minute. You picture Jesus coming down to the Jordan River, and he goes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And the Bible says that he went under the water because it says that he came up out of the water. And it's a very clear picture of biblical baptism, scriptural baptism. And the reason for this picture is to picture the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is for. It's a picture. It's like me wearing a wedding ring. Wearing the wedding ring doesn't make me married. Getting baptized didn't get me saved. It got me wet. And then and it was a great picture, but it didn't wash away my sins. Wearing my wedding ring doesn't make me married. I can take my wedding ring off. In fact, I've got to be careful during the cold months that it doesn't slide off when my finger's a little bit colder. If it comes off, it doesn't mean that I'm not married. It's just a picture that I am married. It's to remind me, it's to remind everybody that I come in contact with that I am a married person, I'm a married man, stay away, right? That's the idea behind the wedding ring. It's a picture. Baptism is a picture. It's me, whenever I got saved when I was 5 years old, I had tubes in my ears right after that. My ears weren't draining properly, so I couldn't go underwater for a while. And I used that as an excuse for a long time not to get baptized. I didn't get baptized till I was 8 years old. The truth was, I didn't want to stand up in front of everybody because I was kind of scared to. I was embarrassed. But when I was 8 years old, I got baptized. And I went up in front of the church just like we have here. We have our baptismal here. It doesn't have to be in a church where you get baptized. Some folks get baptized in rivers like Jesus did. Sometimes they get baptized in lakes. It's generally cold when you do that, especially in New Mexico. The baptism is going under the water. It's a picture of the death and burial of Jesus Christ. What a great picture. And then coming back up to picture the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that God didn't say to picture we'd have to be buried and then somehow come back up. There's no way we could have done that. But picture it in water. It's a great picture. The other picture is what we're going to do tonight, and that is the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus and the intimacy of fellowship that we have with Him as believers. Let me share with you what the Lord's Supper is not. Just to help you so that you're not confused by this, the Lord's Supper is not, it's not the actual body and blood of Jesus. No matter what any person might say, no matter what the religion is, it never, the bread never becomes the body of Jesus Christ. That's why whenever it's called the host, it's misnamed. It never becomes a host for Jesus. It doesn't become His body. It is a picture of the body of Jesus Christ. Right? The blood that we picture with the juice is not actually the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of it. The Lord's Supper, what is it not? The Lord's Supper is not a test to find out who is right with God. We don't do the Lord's Supper once a year to look around on this Sunday night and look around and see who's here and find out who came and who's really right with God because they came to this particular service. No. The Lord's Supper is between me and God, and I get to take it with my church family, and it's a memorial service remembering what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's not to be saved. It's not actually the body and blood of Jesus. It's not a test of your loyalty to this church or if you're right with God. What isn't the Lord's Supper? It's not a sacrament. It doesn't save a person. It doesn't pay for sins. Let me help you with something that might seem confusing a little bit. The Lord's Supper is not the Passover. It's different. The Passover was during the Old Testament. God instituted the Passover. We read it in Exodus chapter 12 this morning. Very clear guidelines about how they were supposed to go out on a certain day of the month and how they're supposed to take a lamb, and they're supposed to make sure it's a lamb without blemish. It's got to be a male lamb of the first year. And on a certain day, I believe it was the 14th day of the month, they would kill that lamb. And they would put the blood of that lamb on the doorposts in their house. And on that very first Passover, if they did have the blood on the doorposts of their house, the angel of death that came through that night, the final plague of Egypt, would not come to their house and would not bring death to that house. And every year, the same, that Passover was celebrated, and they would do the same thing. On a certain day, they would get their lamb, and on a certain day, they'd kill their lamb, and they would put the blood up on the post, and it was to be eaten with certain herbs and certain spices, and the lamb was supposed to be roasted, not boiled. Very, very clear guidelines for the Passover. The Lord's Supper, it started during the Passover feast, but it is not the Passover. The reason I say that is because there's the guidelines are different. God said in the Bible, we just read it, as oft as ye do, do in remembrance of me. And he didn't say how often to do it. Some churches will do it once a year, some once a month, some once a quarter, different times. But it's not the Passover. The Passover looked forward in expectation to the sacrifice for sin. The Lord's Supper looks backwards in remembrance to the sacrifice for sin. The Passover was initiated the night before the Israelites were freed from the bondage of Egypt. The Lord's Supper was initiated the night before the human race was freed from the bondage of sin. The Passover involved the killing of a lamb and shedding its blood as a symbol of God's sacrifice of His Son. The Lord's Supper involves the drinking of unfermented grape juice and eating unleavened bread as a symbol of Jesus giving Himself as a sacrifice to be accepted by every man. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to draw us close to our Savior and remember His sacrifice on the cross. I'm so glad that we get a chance to do that tonight. It's not the Passover. It's a picture of sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a picture of sacrifice. Jesus really did willingly shed His blood for every sinful person who ever lived. I want you to just think about that statement for just a moment. Jesus really did, and here's a key word, willingly. Give Himself. He gave Himself as a sacrifice. I don't know all the details. Some would say Jesus was born knowing what He was going to do the rest of His life. I tend to go that direction. Some people say when He was 12 years old, He understood. I don't know. But Jesus knew where He was going. He knew He was going to be the sacrifice. He knew He was going to be the payment for sin. Some people, as they've written books and commentaries and things, they'll say that Jesus failed because He got arrested, He got caught, He got arrested, He got taken, He got crucified. No, that wasn't the failure. That was the success. That's why He came. He came to this earth for the purpose of dying on the cross. He willingly shed His blood for every sinful person who ever lived. He willingly shed His blood for you. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when you drink the juice in the communion cup, remember that Jesus shed His perfect blood to pay for your sins. And that's why we take the Lord's Supper. And so you can hold the cup in your hand and you can look at it and say, wow, God loved me so much. He sent His Son, He died on the cross, and He shed His blood for me. And this is a picture of that. It's a reminder of that. And whenever I drink it, it's a reminder that I have accepted His blood to pay for my sins. Jesus really did give up His body as a sacrifice for us. He was the only person who could be the perfect sacrifice for us. There's no other person who ever lived or ever will live that could have been the perfect sacrifice for us. It had to have been Jesus Christ. He's the only one that was sinless. And He's the only one who is the Son of God. So when you eat the small piece of bread, it's unleavened bread, remember that Jesus gave His sinless body to be broken for you. Sinless body. And He gave it for you on purpose. He willingly gave it for you. And what a picture it is to hold in your hand the bread and to be able to stop for just a moment and thank God for going to the cross. And thank Him for being willing to let His body go through what His body went through. Just think about it for a moment. Often, the week before Easter, we'll preach a message about the cross and the suffering of the cross. I didn't do that this morning, but just very briefly, just think of His sacrifice. The physical sacrifice that Jesus went through on the way to the cross and at the cross I believe was small compared to the suffering that he paid on the cross as he paid for our sins. He carried the sins of the entire world and paid for every sin that you've ever done, every sin I've ever done, every sin that every person in this world has ever done. He paid for that on the cross. But what we have is a piece of bread to remind us that he went to the cross and he willingly suffered and he gave his body to be broken on the cross. It's a picture of sacrifice. The Lord's Supper is a picture of close fellowship. It's a symbol of becoming one with Jesus Christ. Communion is a very, very strong word describing close fellowship. It's a picture of becoming one with Jesus Christ. Salvation is the only thing that makes a person one with Christ. That's what you heard. That's what you heard testimonies of. Brother Dye's testimony, Brother Reed's testimony, different ones. That moment in their life where they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Nobody's born into being a Christian. Nobody is just a Christian just because everybody around them is or because their family is. There's a decision that a person makes, and that is the decision for salvation. And that salvation is the only thing that makes a person one with Christ. Communion, what we're doing tonight, the Lord's Supper, is just a picture of that salvation. I hope I'm helping you understand this just a little bit, taking some time just to teach it a little. Galatians 2:20, the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What a great picture that is. I mean, that's the statement, that's the truth. But the Lord's Supper, what a great picture it is of Christ living in me. I'm not going to take the time tonight. Sometime this week, I'd like to encourage you to read Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10. It describes Jesus Christ as our high priest. All right? I'm also going to challenge you to read at least one of the Gospels, the story of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to read that this week. Often the week before Easter, I'll go through and I'll read all of the Gospels, the chapter about the death of Jesus Christ, because there's different parts of it in different Gospels. I want to challenge you to do that this week and spend some time in personal devotion thinking and meditating on what Jesus Christ did for you when he went to the cross. Hebrews chapter 9 and Hebrews chapter 10, I'd challenge you to read those because those are just a great reminder that Jesus Christ, as our high priest, he came and he offered himself as a sacrifice. And then after he offered that sacrifice, the Bible says he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us. What a great Savior we have.